Yeah, the topic of my sermon for tonight is holy or religious. And it's religious in the bad sense of the word, meaning that when I talk about religious tonight, it's about being something that of claiming to be a Christian and acting in a different way. So when I talk about religious tonight, this is what I'm talking about. So can we just first close our eyes, please? Thank you, Father, that we can be together in your house tonight. Father, thank you that we can open up our hearts and be teached by you. Father, thank you for every word you give to us. Thank you that we can know that you'll always lead us and show us new things and help us to get closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, well, in recent studies that was done, a couple of people, ordinary people, were asked what they think about Christians. And some of the words that came up the most, or basically the word that came up the most when people think about Christians, was hypocrite. And if you go look at the word hypocrite according to Strong's dictionary, it refers to an actor or someone under an assumed character, a stage player. In other words, someone that's claiming to be something that he's not. Now, when the same people were asked whether they know Jesus and what they know about him, the two words that came up the most was loving and forgiving. And now the question that I've got here tonight is that as Christians, we're representatives of Christ on earth. How is it that the world see us almost opposite what Jesus is? How is it possible that he's this person that everyone was following, and we're just the opposite? We're the person that most of the world don't want to be in our presence. They don't want to do business with a lot of us because we're Christians. And I asked myself the question, is it possible that we are too busy acting like Christ instead of being like Christ? Because acting means playing a role of something that you're not. And wouldn't it then be better becoming someone else or something else rather than acting like it? And if we go look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, all the scriptures I'll have on there is, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we need to be in Christ to be able to change into someone else or into something else. And how do we, what does it mean being in Christ? It's basically to spend time with Christ, to read your Bible, to pray regularly, not only when we need something, but to stay in His presence and to allow the Holy Spirit to occupy your mind and your thoughts. Allow Him to lead your thoughts and basically allow Him that your or that His heart will be in your chest. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 16 says, because of this, having girded up the loins of your mind, being sober, perfectly hope on the grace being brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves to your former lusts in your ignorance, but according to the Holy One who has called you, you also become holy in all conduct, because it has been written, be holy, because I am holy. You see, the thing about Jesus is he was holy. And if we want to become like Jesus, we need to become holy. Hebrews 9, verse 11 to 14 says, but Christ, having appeared as a high priest of the coming good things, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of his of this creation, nor through the blood of goats and of calves, but through his own blood, he entered once for all into the Holy of Holies, having procured everlasting redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling those having been defiled sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, by how much more the blood of Christ will purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So, to become holy, we need to apply the blood of Christ. And how do we apply the blood of Christ? It's simply by giving our lives to the Lord, giving our lives to Jesus, accepting Him as your Savior, and asking His forgiveness for the things that we do wrong in our lives. Now, you see, by doing that, we are starting to get holy. It's not a thing of, in an instant, we're holy, and something like that. We walk a path of, basically, of righteousness, and in that path we become holy. So what we need to do is we need to get more and more in God's presence to be able to become holy. Being holy, what I also wrote here was, being holy means knowing God's will and walking in it. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, that He may forgive us the sins and may cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, does this mean that once we've confessed our sins that we can go on and do whatever and we'll stay holy or anything like that? Definitely not. Like I said, this we walk a path of holiness. We're righteous. We're always righteous because of what Jesus did. Not because of something that what we did. Because of what Jesus did, we're righteous. But we still need to walk in that path of holiness. The question I want to ask is, how do I know whether I am being holy or religious? And the answer is simply, if you're not having a relationship with God, then it's impossible to be holy. Because you need to have a relationship with God. And I think so often if we look at being religious, so often we think, but, you know, the people of that church is religious, or the people of that church is religious. But the thing about that is, I almost want to say, I think, I can't really say most people is religious, but I think in all churches, you'll get people that's religious. So that's something that crawls into every church. It's not just something that's got to do with tradition or so. It's the moment that we start putting up a front, then we get into that thing where we're religious. And it's often, you know, you can, I got saved and I've spent time in the Word. I've had a good relationship with God and everything. And as time moves along, you move away from God without even noticing it. And you move into a place where you start to get religious, again, without noticing it. And you need to get to a place where you realize, but listen, I'm being religious. Because I don't have a relationship with God anymore. I used to have a relationship with God. Because when you realize that, then it's actually a good thing to realize when you're religious, so that you can get out of it. And now we often think being religious is not that bad. At least we come to church on a Sunday, or we still go to cell on a Wednesday, or something like that. There's two scriptures I want to read that's quite shockers. Revelation 3 verse 16. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. And the other scriptures in Matthew 7 verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many works of power? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, those working lawlessness. Now this scripture of Matthew, he's not talking to people of the world. He's talking to the people of the church. So that's people that came to church every day. I think if you look at the scripture, you see it's people that cast out demons and so on. So it's not even people sitting in the back row. It's people standing in the front, leading churches, leading people. It's those people. And he's telling them, I will tell you to depart from me because I don't know you. In other words, there's no relationship between you and me. And you see, that brings us back to that point of being religious. And I think every person that's being religious, and I think all of us at some stage was religious, you didn't start off that way. Neither one of us started off being religious. You wasn't born religious. You got saved and everything went well, but then stuff changed. And if we're sitting here tonight and we're thinking about by ourselves, and I'm not pointing fingers to you guys, so I'm in the same place, we get to that place where we realize, but my testimonies are from a year ago, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. The things of what God shared with me, where he told me this and he told me that. It's stories of, again, a year ago, two years ago, 3 years ago. Then I'm not at the place where I'm supposed to be. Then it's possible that I'm at a place where I might be religious. And we need to get out of that. The reason also why I'm sharing this sermon for tonight is I really felt that this is what the Lord put on my heart, but I really felt that the church, and I'm not talking about Shofar Malmes, but I'm talking about the church, the bride of Jesus, is at a place where it's lukewarm, where it's in a comfort zone, and being religious and not even noticing it. And how you can see that it's the case is, why isn't people coming into the church? If we're affecting the world, why isn't the people coming? Because remember, that's our fruits. And if the fruits isn't there, then something is wrong. I'm going to read Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20. And walking beside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon being called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he says to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And leaving the nets, they immediately followed him. Here we start to talk about discipleship. I think the easiest way to get out of this whole religious thing is to start to be a disciple. And the definition of a disciple is someone that's in the process where they allow God to change them to be more like Christ, but also where they are helping someone else to become more like Christ. And that's often where we're missing it. We're so busy allowing God to change us, and we're so busy getting fed to be changed, that we're not busy helping someone else to be changed. And then we're not a disciple. Because a disciple are receiving on the one side, but it's also giving out on the other side. Because remember, it's about being like Jesus was, doing what he did. And he always received from the Father, but he gave out on the other side. Because if you think about all those thousands of people that followed him, if he didn't give them something, what would it have felt? And also with the disciples, if those 12 people, with what they did, if you look at the world today, how the impact they made on the world, if they only sat with Jesus, received from him, and never started to give out, then there wouldn't have been a change in this world. And if we look at our church, Shofar Malmesbury, where we're about, I think, about 100 people, how difficult can it be to change Malmesbury around if we're real disciples? If we're receiving on the one side and giving out on the other side. There's a couple of, I want to call it, disciplines in being a disciple. And I want to give it to you, the scriptures with it. The first one is prayer. This is the things we need to do to be a disciple. So it's practical stuff to be a disciple. What can I do to get out of this religious thing and to be a proper disciple where I'm making a difference in the kingdom of Christ? So the first one is prayer, and that's about the relationship with God. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. Pray without ceasing. If we're not praying, then it's impossible to have a relationship with God. We need to pray to be able to have a relationship with God. If I'm not talking to my neighbor, I'm not having a relationship with him. I can go to his braai or whatever, but if I'm not talking to him, I'm not having a relationship with him. The second one is fasting. That's got to do with your relationship with the world. Matthew 6 verse 16. And when you fast, do not be as the hypocrites with sullen face, for they disfigure their faces so that they may appear to men to be fasting. Truly I say to you that they have their reward. You know, being part of this world, it's so important to make a difference in this world and have an impact in this world. we need to have a relationship with the world. But when we, for instance, when we're fasting, you can't go around and tell everyone, you know, I'm fasting now, and it's so difficult, and it's so bad, and so on. Because in that way, especially people from the world, they look at us, and they think, but if you're complaining about what you're doing, why are you doing it? The next one I've got is is worship, relationship with God. John 4, verse 23. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father also seeks such, the ones worshipping Him. Again, if you're not worshipping the Father, it's impossible to be a disciple. You need, because with worshipping, we're getting into His presence. The next one, Bible intake. Again, it's the relationship with God's Word. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And He has humbled you and caused you to hunger, and caused you to eat the manna which you had not known, and your fathers had not known, in order to cause you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Jehovah. As a disciple, we need to know the Word of God. Because when stuff happens in our lives, we need to be able to use the Word there. You know, so often we read scriptures in the Bible and we think, but I don't know why this scripture is here. I don't know what God is trying to tell me with this. And later during the day or the next week, something happens and you're not sure which direction to go. And that scripture comes back to you. And immediately you know what you're supposed to do. And if you're not having that relationship with God's Word, it makes it very difficult for God to be able to talk to you through His Word and lead you. The next one's community, relationship with others. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to incitement of love and of good works, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, as it is the custom of some, but exhorting, and by so much more as you see the day drawing near. It's so important for us to be between other people, like in community, having a relationship with others. If I've got Jesus in my life and I'm not part of a community, what does it help? How can I be a disciple receiving on the one side and giving out on the other side if I'm not part of a community? If I'm not at a place where I meet other people. The next one, giving, our relationship with giving. Luke 16, verse 11. Then if you were not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true to you? You know, it's that thing of putting your money where your mouth is. It's easy to say, but everything I've got belongs to God. But if we need to take out the cash and put it somewhere else, then all of a sudden it's not so easy to do it. And, you know, especially with being a disciple, if we can't give, it's impossible to be a disciple. The next one, service, our relationship with people. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brothers, you were called to freedom. Only do not use the freedom for an opening to the flesh, but through love serve one another. I think the thing for me about Jesus that stands out the most is the way He served people. Not only the fact that He served people, but the way He did it. And for us the same, it doesn't help that we do stuff for people. It doesn't help that we serve people, but we do it with the wrong heart. That's where that thing came in where I said in the beginning that we're acting like Jesus and we're not being like Jesus. As we mustn't act that we love people. We must love people. And serving them is a good way of showing it. Testimony, Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you will be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know, the thing about testimony is we always talk about giving God the glory and the honor and so on. If I'm in a bad situation, whether it's I'm struggling with money or relationship with my wife or whatever, when things is bad in my life and God come and He takes me out of that situation, He give me restoration, and I don't tell anyone about it, that this is what God did for me, then I'm taking the glory for myself. This thing is is so important to testify, because the moment you start to testify of the good things that God did in your life, only then you start to give God the glory. Because let's say my finances, if I'm struggling in my finances and everyone is praying with me for my finances to be restored and everything, and God come and he do a miracle and my finances is restored, and I don't go tell everyone about it, I allow the people to think that I was so clever in the way I worked my finances and everything, and that's why I got out of it. But it's not that. It's God that took me out of it. So I need to go tell people, listen, this is where I was. This is what God did for me. So I give him the glory. Even with just with sharing it with people. It's testimony. The next one, building up 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Then what is it, brothers? When you come together, each one of you has a psalm. He has a teaching, he has a language, he has a revelation, he has an interpretation. Let all things be for building up. And why it's so important, let all things be for building up. I think it was in Foundation 2 the other day we spoke about this. If I'm at a place where I'm down in the dumps and I'm struggling, I must choose very carefully who I'm going to share that with. Because if I, making an example now, if I go to Wayne and I tell Wayne, listen, brother, you need to pray with me. Because my car is broken, there's no more money, and the groceries is finished, and I don't know what's going on. And Wayne turns around and says, yes, brother, you must know, now the petrol price went up as well. And they told me the economy is going to get even worse. That's not helping me. So about building up, choose someone that will help you to get up. And also when someone comes to you complaining, if I can put it that way, and comes to you and tell you, listen, brother, this is where I'm at. I'm struggling and so on. Don't get into that boat with him. Pick him up. Because there will be a day where you need to go to someone else and then you'll expect that person to pick you up as well. And so often, if I look back, a couple of times I fell into that trap where someone found me and just poured out his heart to me. And I just got into that boat with him about how bad it is. I don't know what's going to happen and so on. So we really need to help people to stand up. And the last thing I've got here is receiving teaching. Proverbs 4 verse 1 and 2. But just before I read that, it's about our relationship with our priest. Now, not last night, during the week when I was busy with my sermon, I sit with this thing about, I'm going to use Afrikaans, my verhouding met my leraar. And I asked my wife, but what's leraar in English again? And she heard me wrong. And she said liar. Because she heard Leonard instead of Leonard. So, yeah, a priest is not a liar. But anyway, Proverbs 4, verse 1 and 2. Sons, hear the instructions of a father. Pay attention to no understanding. For I give you good teaching. Do not forsake my law. You know, it's so important that as disciples, we need to be able to, almost want to say, to go sit at some people's feet. We need to be able to listen to people, especially our priests and the people teaching us, to listen what they've got to say to us. So again, that we've got something to pour out on the other side. So, yeah, during all of this, this is more or less what I've got to say for tonight, but I think you've noticed that the thing that came out the most through all 10 of these things was relationship. Whether it is with God or with the church, or with the world, it's a relationship. And it's exactly the same thing as Rick said this morning. You can't have one of the three or two of the three. You need to have all three. Because if I've got a relationship with God, but I don't have a relationship with the church, and I do have, for instance, a relationship with the world, is what will happen is I'll be drawn into the world. If I've got a relationship with if I don't have a relationship with God, but only with the other two, how can I become holy? How can I be a disciple and be drawn closer to God without having a relationship with Him? Something that comes to mind is, there's that saying of, you must help me now, something of what you behold, you will become. So if you behold a holy God, you will become holy. But if you behold the things of this world, you will become part of this world. And that's why it's so important that we realize that we need to be in a relationship with God. There's no other way around it. And I'm not going to make an altar call tonight, but I do want to ask you just to stand up and just pray with me, please. Thank you, Father, that we can just come in front of you tonight. And Father, thank you that we can know that being religious is something that can happen to anyone. It's probably something that happened to all of us at some stage of our lives. And Father, that when we get to this point where we realize that I'm being religious, I can just come to you, Lord, and ask you, Father, forgive me for where I am and help me to get back into a relationship with you. Help me to make an impact in this world. Father, help me that through my testimony, through the way that I do things, that people will see you, that people will come closer to you because of the way I live my life. And I realize, Father, that that will be impossible if I don't have a relationship with you. And that's why, Father, tonight we just come to you again, and we just want to come ask you, Lord, that you will help us to walk in a relationship with you, that you will help us with these practical things, that we'll read our Bibles daily, that we'll spend time with you daily, that if it's difficult for us to get into your presence, that we'll put a CD in or whatever and just worship you so that we can come into your presence and allow you to change us. Thank you, Father, that we can know that none of us have to feel condemned tonight, that we can know that we're righteous because of what Jesus did, and that we can know that you're always ready to lead us to get closer to you and to be more like you. So we just want to ask you tonight, Father, that you will change each and every one of us to be more like you and to get closer to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. If there is anyone that needs prayer for this thing or anything else, you can just come to me. But thank you very much.